Last Sunday, I made some comments to you about that well-used saying about the reason for the season, and I'm going to try to remind you and myself about that in the coming weeks. But rather than use that particular expression, because it's somewhat overused, I want to try to just tweak it a little bit and just say the reason we celebrate in this season of the year, the reason we celebrate. I gave to you last week the definition of reason. Reason, I like to look up words. I like to define words. And a reason, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a reason is a statement or a fact that explains why something is the way it is. Why someone does or thinks or says something. Or why someone behaves in a certain way. That's reason. Why do we behave in a certain way? Why do we do the things that we do in this season right here? Another way to say it is the reason for the season. But taking it maybe a little step farther or changing it around a bit, the reason we celebrate. Why do we do the things that we do this time of year? I've got for you, brethren, today from Scripture a statement that explains why something is the way it is. Why someone does, thinks, or says something, or why someone behaves in a certain way. I've got a reason for it. I want to read to you out of the Word of God. I want you to read along with me. It's the man who wrote this. He of course was inspired of God, because all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable, inspiration of God, and is profitable to us. And the man who wrote the words that are on my mind this morning, I pray from God, was the man Jeremiah. Jeremiah, would you turn to his book, or the book that's named for him, the prophecy, Jeremiah in the Old Testament. He's known sometimes as the weeping prophet. From what I can recall reading, if I recall it correctly, he prophesied as a fairly young man. A beautiful thing about Jeremiah, I think I can find it. Maybe I didn't have this in my notes, but a wonderful thing about Jeremiah was if I can find it, wasn't he the one that God said about him, "I knew you in the womb, and before you came forth, I ordained you a prophet"? Was that Jeremiah? I think it was. Oh yeah. Verse 5. God told Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Boy, there's a sermon right there, brethren. There's a sermon in that. Before you were conceived, Jeremiah, I knew you. "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Before your physical birth, I gave you a spiritual birth. And I set you apart for a holy purpose." That's what sanctification is. "And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations," the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, the other nations, Moab, other nations I've read about. I've been reading in Jeremiah, as you might imagine, the last couple of weeks. Beautiful thing about Jeremiah. The reason, brethren, he was a prophet is because God ordained him to be a prophet. Why he did, why he thought, and why he said the things he said, brethren, is because the reason behind that is because God ordained him a prophet. The reason why someone behaves in a certain way, the reason Jeremiah behaved, brethren, in a certain way is God came into his life. God knew him before he was formed in the belly. God ordained him to be a prophet before he was born. That's the reason for that. And I want to give you today the reason that Jeremiah gives us for why we celebrate in this season like we do. Jeremiah chapter 33, beginning with verse 14. Going to read 14 through 18, brethren. Beautiful, beautiful words. I read them this week, and as often happens, they stood out to me. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God said to me as I was reading these words, These are special words right now for you and the people at the church. I want you to read them, study them. I want you to preach them on Sunday. And that's a good feeling, brethren. That's a good feeling. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. If I read that correctly, that's what God told Jeremiah to write. And we label it Jeremiah 33, 14 through 18. Let's pray, brethren, that God will show us what he showed to Jeremiah. Oh, Lord God, open our minds, please. Open our minds to receive your word. We must have it, Lord, if we're to understand it. We must have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, this is you speaking to us, and you spoke to Jeremiah, and he understood it. He got it right, Lord, because you blessed him. Bless us to get it right. Teach us, please. Let the Spirit of God come and guide us. Oh, Lord, teach me that I might teach. Teach us all that we might understand your word, your way, your glorious salvation by your sovereign grace. Oh, Lord, teach us our Redeemer that we might recognize him in Scripture. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to worship. Please guide us now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Oh, brethren, I was reading this week. It's my assigned reading as I read through the Bible. It was Jeremiah. Ooh, I got way behind. I was about 20 or 30 chapters behind. And I got after it and I began to read and I stayed with it. And I'm caught up now, except I didn't read this morning. I'll have to do that. But I'm fairly well caught up. And as I was reading, brethren, this assigned reading, I read these words about two days ago, and I want to, they're beautiful. You've read them before, I hope and pray you have, and we read them again together this morning. We read this prophecy. As an aside, brethren, I heard this week on Christian radio, I heard a man preaching, and he said, we've got a book for you, a book or pamphlet for you. If you want it, send us some money, which is not an unreasonable request. He just said, send us a donation, we'll send you this book. He didn't say it's got to be $100 or $10. He just said, if you'll send a donation, we'll send you this book. And the book, and I didn't send money yet. I might do it, but because I think he's a sound preacher, and probably the book is sound and good and established on the Word of God. But the title of this little book he said they would send is called The Gospel of Isaiah. Never heard it called that, have you? And the reason he said the reason we call it that, they had thought up that title, maybe by inspired of God, and it's a little Bible study, I'm sure. But the reason they did what they did is, he said, we called it this because Isaiah has so many references to the Messiah in it. It's like a gospel message. So many references. And there are, you know, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. There's two or three I can think of. And then the 53rd chapter, and I can't quote them now, but all through Isaiah, the man said it's like a gospel message. Well, Jeremiah has a few also. And this is one of them right here in Jeremiah. And this is, brethren, a messianic prophecy right here. This is a promise of God that he's sending the Messiah. Let's study it together, brethren. Chapter 33, verse 14. Look at that first word. There it is again. Behold. You know, when I see behold, I say to you, that means listen up. It means take notice. It means observe this. Study it. Think about it. Dwell on this. Behold, the days come. There are some days coming that are going to be special. They're coming. They're in the future. But God says they're coming. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. And brethren, when God says something, you and I can count on it. God said in Jeremiah's day that there's a time coming, a certain time, a special time. And what makes it special? God says that in those days, I will perform. I'm going to do a thing. I'm going to do that good thing. I'm going to do something good. Oh, brethren, you read the prophecy of Jeremiah, and it's just replete with bad things. Judgment. Jeremiah was called, we call him the weeping prophet. He had so much bad news. He got treated badly. He got arrested for preaching, brethren. King says, don't say that. Don't say those things. Oh, there were lots of prophets in Jeremiah's day that said, peace, peace, everything's all right. Everything's good. Don't worry. It's all good. They were false prophets, brethren. Jeremiah was one of very few that told it like it was from God. You know, brethren, it's not a pleasant thing to stand before people and curse them, as it were, and say, you're doing wrong. Shame on you. God's going to judge you. It's not a pleasant thing to do. But if God says do it, you got to do it. It's more pleasant to say, well, everything's going to be just fine. You're doing great. Oh, God understands what you're doing. Oh, it's all right. If you're not doing right, brethren, no one should say you're doing right. If you're doing wrong, someone should say you're doing wrong. Jeremiah had that job. But in this case, right here, brethren, in this case, no doubt, this brought a smile to his face, I would say. God says, pay attention, God says, the days are coming that I will perform a good thing, which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. A good thing. Jeremiah was able to say, God tells me the day's coming, he's going to do a very good thing. You know what that good thing was, brethren? Well, we read some about it. But Deuteronomy 18:15, the words of Moses, he also was a prophet, among other things. Moses wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's recorded as chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, verse 15. The Lord thy God, he's speaking to Israel and Judah, the nation, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. In other words, he's going to come out of your number. He's going to come out of this nation of thy brethren. He's going to be one of the Hebrews. Like unto me. He's going to be like me, but he's going to be greater than me, Moses says. Unto him ye shall hearken. In other words, listen to him. Listen to him. He's coming forward. He's coming forth. Jeremiah, verse 15 of chapter 33 says, the days come, verse 14. And Jeremiah says, he's a little more specific now. In those days and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness. The branch of righteousness. Symbolic language, brethren. That prophet, that righteous one that's coming, is likened to a branch of righteousness, a righteous branch, a good branch, a holy branch. Y'all, I guess I've told you a lot of times, you're probably bored with it, but I like to trim branches. I like to trim them. They make the tree more shapely if you trim it right. You can take an oak tree and the branches can be hanging down and dragging the ground, and I can get out there with my sawzall or my saw or chainsaw or hatchet, whatever, and I trim those limbs up just as high as I can reach. And you let that tree grow for about a year, it'll be so symmetrical and so pretty and so shady under it. Branches, brethren, I like to trim them. I like to trim unrighteous branches. I like to trim vines and bamboos. I like to get them out of the way, get them up and burn them. I like to put on my gloves and get after them. And Brother Kevin was talking this morning about trimming limbs and trimming trees. It makes it tidy. It makes it picturesque. It makes it pleasing. Oh, and some branches are not very pleasant. But brethren, God tells us through Jeremiah, there's coming a righteous branch, a branch of righteousness. Oh boy, what a branch that is. Listen to this. Another man talked about the branch of righteousness. This is what he said. He shall grow, branches grow, brethren. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. All those are descriptions, brethren, is symbolic descriptions of Jesus. I'll just say it plain. The prophets used symbolic language. But that branch, brethren, he's come now. He's come. Jeremiah's writing is saying he is coming. In those days and at that time I will cause it. Brethren, God caused Jesus to come. He's his Father. Last week we talked about my righteous servant, Jesus being the servant of the Father. God says, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. He's coming and he's going to grow. He's going to be conceived and he's going to grow. He's going to grow in the womb of a virgin who never had a relationship sexually with a man ever. But she had this baby, this righteous thing growing in her. And he's going to grow up unto David. What does that mean? Unto David. What does that mean? David, brethren, was a man after God's own heart. He was a king. And you know, we studied in Bible study this morning about kings. They like to hold power. And they like to, when their days are spent, they like to pass it on to their son or somebody in their family, their heir. We want to keep it in the family, brothers. We want to keep it in the family. David, brethren, the righteous branch was kept in the family of David. God said, David's a man after my own heart. And he said, if you'll obey me, people of Jerusalem and Judah, Israel, if you'll obey me, you'll never lack a man from the house of David to sit on the throne. But you know what? They didn't obey him, did they? They didn't. They had some good kings along, had some bad kings. Even the very next one after David. What a righteous man he was. He wasn't sinless, but he was a man after God's own heart. David's own offspring, Solomon. Oh, how wise he was. How wealthy, powerful. He ruled over the kingdom in peace and prosperity. But he got so prosperous, brethren, he forgot about God. He forgot what he needed to lean on, that righteous branch. And he got him a lot of worldly things, and they took his heart away. And so at some point, brethren, they lacked a man to sit on the throne of David. They got carried away into Babylon. The people did. And that's what happens, brethren, with you and me. As long as we'll be righteous and have a practical righteousness about us, as long as we'll walk in the straight and narrow way, we won't lack someone to guide us and bless us. That's God. That's the righteous branch. But you get away from that, brethren, and you lose that fellowship. Here's something I want to tell you about. I think I heard it this week. It's good. This is good. I didn't plan to tell this. It's in my mind. I got to tell you about it. This man was talking about once saved, always saved. He said, a lot of people don't believe that. Well, I believe it because God says it, brethren. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Brethren, if you're saved at this instant, right now, if you're saved, you're always going to be saved. And this preacher said, he put it this way. This is a great way to describe it. He said, we're born into relationship with God and we have a fellowship with God. And he said, you'll never lose that relationship with God. You'll never lose it. But you may lose fellowship with God. Did you know that? I know it. I've learned it the hard way. I've lived it, brethren. I'm in the relationship with God. When he born me again, brethren, a relationship was established. And then I began to have fellowship with him. But as I got older, brethren, I got out of fellowship with God. Man, I got way away from him. But I was always in that relationship with him. And that meant, remember that, or if you want to, I thought it was pretty good. Very good, in fact. In those days, at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. David got out of fellowship with God, brethren. Did you know that? We're going to study it next week in Bible study. I looked ahead, see what the lesson is about. You know the name of next week's lesson? David. We're studying David for 3 months. October, November, December. We've been studying for 2.5 months now. And next week, the title of the lesson is David and Bathsheba. Right? God says, this man after my own heart, this man that he saved, this man that belongs to God, he gets out of fellowship. You can read about it in the history books of the Bible. You also can read about it in Psalm 51, where David says, restore me, Lord, restore me. He doesn't say, restore me into your family, because he belonged to the family of God. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, God's salvation. We sang about God's salvation this morning in those Christmas hymns. Salvation came. The righteous branch came. Jeremiah says he's coming. Matthew, Luke say he's come. Acts, Luke in the book of Acts. Luke in his gospel says he's come. David says, restore me. I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. He's going to sit on the throne of David. Yeah, there was a while that there wasn't somebody sitting on the throne of David. Why? Because David's offspring didn't live righteously. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Did that righteous branch, when he came, did he execute judgment? Yes, he did. And at the end of his days on earth, brethren, he said, the prince of this world is judged. I came to judge. I came to judge the quick and the dead. I came to judge in righteousness. All judgment is committed to him from the Father. He judges, and he judges in righteousness. Verse 16, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Now, brethren, Jeremiah is speaking here about the nation of Israel and Judah. But I'm speaking to you, brethren, about spiritual Israel and spiritual Judah now. The ones who are Jews inwardly, not those that are Jews outwardly. Some of them are saved also. But right here, brethren, in the church age, in those days, the first three words of verse 15, in those days, that's the days of the Messiah. That's the last days. That's the days of the church age. That's the days of the kingdom age. In those days, brethren, Jerusalem shall dwell safely. You know the safest place to dwell, brethren, right now? Is in fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. I don't care where you are on this planet. It may be unsafe outside. There may be war in the streets and crime in the streets. But the safest place to dwell, brethren, is in fellowship with God. In the kingdom of God. In obedience to God. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Some people say that she there, that pronoun she, means the church. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. I don't disagree with that. It includes the church, I believe. I believe it includes the obedient children of God. We'll be called, the Lord, our righteousness. You know why it's called the Lord, our righteousness? Because you know what my righteousness is as? Filthy rags, right? I have no righteousness to plead. No righteousness to plead. Simply to the cross I cling. I cling to the righteous branch, brethren. I cling to the righteous branch. The Lord, our righteousness. Verse 17, for thus saith the Lord. here's a pretty declaration right here, brethren, that God makes. God says this, David shall never want. Now that doesn't mean desire, brethren. It means lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God takes care of me. There's nothing that I need, brethren, that I'm going to lack. David shall never lack or want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. There won't be a vacancy in that throne, brethren. There's not now. And ever since he's come, brethren, he assumed the throne. And he's on it, brethren. He's on it. And he'll never get off of it. He'll always rule. He shall be great, Luke says, that God says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. That's the righteous branch. And the Lord God, the Father, shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's that throne right there of David. Thus saith the Lord, David shall never want or lack a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob. That's Israel. That's Judah. Forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's in Luke. I believe it's chapter 1. Thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither, and he says, on top of that, I'll tell you more. Neither shall the priest, the Levites, the priest came from the tribe of Levi. Every priest was from Levi, and there were men who were not priests that were from the tribe of Levi that maintained the temple and worked in the temple. Neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man, lack a man, before me, before God, to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. God says, there's going to be people, there's going to be servants of mine. I won't lack them. I won't lack. There'll be somebody to offer offerings to me continually in that day. You are doing that as I speak. You are doing that. You are presenting your bodies living sacrifices this morning. In the first minute or so after we called to order the service, we stood and we did that. We read the Word of God. We praised God by reading the Word of God. In the next 15 or 20 minutes, we sang to God. We offered him the sacrifice of praise of our lips. That's what we do in the church age, brethren. And I want to tell you, brethren, some are not here this morning because they're sick, maybe unable to come. But some are not here because they chose not to come. They could have. They just chose not to come. But you know what God says about that? He said there's going to be somebody somewhere. There's going to be a remnant that's going to be offering sacrifice and praise to me sometime, somewhere, always. It may be you or me, or we may decide not to come. But I prefer to be here and offer that praise right there. Praise God for that prophecy. Do you see the picture of it that Jeremiah painted based on what God told him was going to happen? And do you know, brethren, from reading the Gospels, and here in the preaching of the gospel, that this has happened. He's come. That branch has come like a root out of a dry ground. He's come. That righteous branch has come. He's come. We sang about it this morning in our Christmas hymns. We sang about it. And God says it's going to go on. It's going to continue. And do you know what else? He said, I didn't read the next verses, but we're going to read them now. God says, I'll tell you what. If you can stop night and day, then it might stop. But otherwise, it's going to continue. Here they are. Verse 19. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then, if you can do that, may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. He says, if you can stop day and night, then my covenant might stop. Otherwise, my son, who's great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. There it is. There it is. There's a prophecy, brethren. There's a messianic prophecy for you right there. And we know it's been fulfilled and is being fulfilled right now. And that, brethren, is the reason, brethren, we do what we do. That's the reason something is the way it is. Because God says that's the way it's going to be. That's why you and I do the things we do, think the things we think, and say the things we say, and sing the things we sing. There it is. And that's the reason we celebrate the things we celebrate. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Oh, God, thank you for blessing us to see that you said it was going to happen, to now see that it has happened and it is happening. Oh, Lord, remind us of the reason we do the things we do. Oh, God, may we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. For his sake we pray. Amen.